The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, and pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry podcast. If you're watching this on video, this angle is fucking horrible. I can see all of my titties.
It's not too bad.
I'm glad that you're hanging out with me today. We was gonna ride dirt roads and do shit, but we decided to do this instead.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here, man. Cause I feel like this is an important episode. There's been a lot of stuff that's been weighing heavy on me and
weighing
just
heavy.
Some stuff it's a lot of time was put into it, you know, and it's now we're finally here, and just some stuff I need to talk about. I feel like we need to talk about together.
What do we need to talk about?
Just some.
You know, I done told you like there's you things and me things.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of tough times. There's been some downs. There's been some ups. Yeah,
been through
absolutely.
Some shit.
Absolutely. And you know that comes with any relationship. You know.
Yeah. Any. I mean, you're gonna have those. Those good and bad times. You're going to have those ups and downs. It's just kind of how you deal with it.
Absolutely, yeah. But I feel like, you know, we just come on here and hash it out, you know, get a lot of stuff off our chest.
What are you trying to get off your chest?
I mean, you know, I'm super grateful for you.
Oh, thank you.
And everything you've done, man, and especially like our family that we have in Nashville with everybody.
Great family.
Great group, the Breakfast Club, you know, great group. But
I never called it that. That's stupid.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was kind of funny. Anyways, but, you know, we just, you know, hash everything out that's happened, you know, all the stuff we've been through and all that kind of stuff. But there's one really big reason that, you know, I feel like we should really talk.
And what the fuck is that?
I mean.
Because we were just having beers and laughing and cutting up a couple minutes ago. And now you got this serious ass face on.
Yeah, I mean, it is serious. It's a serious matter. I feel like it is. Anyways.
It looks like.
To me, it is. I really take it to heart.
It's obvious. It's like it's weighing on your heart
right now.
Is.
It's heavy, dude, to be honest.
It's a heavy heart.
It's been hard to deal with, but I'm grateful for it, you know.
Yeah.
Grateful for it.
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell you're grateful for. Because it just sounds like there's something spinning up there. Like there's something you can tell. Like this isn't regular David.
Should I just cut to the chase?
I mean, I don't know. I'm scared. I feel like I'm fixing me put in a vulnerable position, and I don't know about being vulnerable.
Well, vulnerable's the best sometimes, you know. We talk about a lot of mental health stuff and all the songwriting stuff. There's a lot of vulnerability in what we do, but there's another level of vulnerability.
There's another type of vulnerability.
And I feel like this comes with it as well.
Yeah. Well, this is making me feel like I'm naked sitting in front of you. That's how vulnerable I am.
I mean,
right
when
now.
Looking at your shirt, you're almost naked.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. This is the one that for some reason we decided to get a clip on.
Well,
the side tit, as Bobby Pinson would say, I got the second best set of titties in Nashville. He's got the first.
He's not wrong.
What's eating you alive, though? Like, you can tell. I mean, even though he's cutting up having fun earlier or whatever, you know, it just even seems like the past week or so while we've been together, like something's been really heavy.
I feel like it has been heavy, but I feel like it's all building up to this moment. Right here, like to today.
It feels like it's fixing to explode, whatever it is.
It really
There's
is.
A lot of tension in this room.
Yeah.
I don't know if There's I like it. Tension. I don't know if I like tension between me and you.
There's been a lot of tension in a lot of rooms that we've all been in together, you know?
that's an understatement. A
whole lot of tension.
There's been a whole lot of tension, though, just between me and you at bars lately, because there's this, we really keep taking it too far with one another.
We really do. Yeah. We really do. We've called truces. We've
Why can't we both just wave the white flag? It's like one of us forgets.
Maybe we're just too stubborn.
Probably. You
know, too stuck in our ways.
Probably.
I mean, I know you're an old man and all, so it's a little bit.
The older the violin, the sweeter the music, motherfucker.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
I mean, there's
a lot of wisdom come with that.
There is. Yeah. There is a lot of wisdom that comes this way. A lot. Yeah, I mean, figuring out how to do ways different than anybody else.
I'm ready to drop some wisdom.
Are you ready to drop some wisdom?
Yeah.
I'm scared. Like, I'm scared.
I feel like everybody's been dying to hear about it, to be honest with you. I think so.
Man, I'm going to get put in a vulnerable situation. I can already tell.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard choice.
But it just seems like whatever you're thinking about right now, you feel like it's the truth.
Oh,
like you feel like it is just, it's heavy. It's the heavy truth.
Absolutely. It's totally the truth.
Cold hard truth.
Cold hearted, you know? And I mean, sometimes it takes a lot of vulnerability, like you said, and a lot of toughness to get to that truth. You know? A lot of sacrifices to get to that truth, mentally, physically.
Oh, yeah. All that. Yeah. Before you drop some of this truth and scare some of these people off, though, what's that last song that you had that came out? That was so good.
Damn Good Man.
Damn Good Man.
Damn Good Man, yep.
Great lines in that song.
I appreciate that, man.
It's one of my favorites. I remember us being at the Creative Vets Golf Tournament, and you playing the mastered version for me for the first time, and that was cool.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I kind of wrote that song with my grandpa and mine, you know, being raised by him and all that, which I've talked about that on here before back in the day. But
I just wanted to listen to it because we're liable to lose some people regardless. So I don't know what you're about to say.
Yeah, before I go and just derail the train here with all this truth and exposing.
And go check out the JoshTerryPodcast.com for all of our official merch now before you're not a fan anymore. Because I feel like...
That was a good plug in there.
I feel like we're going to draw a line in the sand here.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. But y'all go check out the podcast and check out the music before...
definitely.
Before this train wreck happens.
His whole category is good. Everything he does is good.
Thank you.
You can be better at social media, but you can't be perfect.
Nah, getting there.
All you got to do is get you one of them Garth Brooks earpieces, them side pieces. I saw a fella earlier that literally, y'all could have been twins.
Nah,
The waitress said
we didn't look anything alike.
She figured out real quick that it wasn't you.
She said it immediately.
But even she could tell. Like, she's like, every time she look at you, she's like, he's got these big, sad puppy dog. Like, not even sad. It's just like they're emotional eyes. Mm-hmm. Real emotional eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know if me and you need to hit this pen anymore at all.
Probably not. Because, I mean, what I'm about to say is one of the most, not shocking, but, like, you know, just exciting and truthful and just down to the heart things that I've ever said.
And for you, you who is like a closed off eggshell of emotion sometimes.
Can be.
It's like somebody's cracking that shell right now. It's weird.
A little bit.
It's weird. I'm startled.
A little bit.
Startled.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure this is going to be startling. Yeah.
I know when you told me today when we was eating at Wild Wings, and you're like, hey, look, man, I just really got to talk about something. I really got to get off my chest. But unless you're going to record it for an episode and put it out, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, if I'm going to push myself to this limit and expose myself and be vulnerable and all that, I'm going to do it with a voice to be heard, you know. Yeah. Might as well do it.
Why not do it here?
Why not do it here with you?
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, at least I'm the voice of reason most times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm the with age comes wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to circle back.
Yeah. So... what is it?
Well, I'm trying to get choked up, but this is 3 years of Raising Gray Studios, man. 3 year anniversary right here of dealing with this piece of shit.
Second episode ever, baby.
Cheers, buddy.
We got you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, that took 8 minutes of your life and was like, oh, they're going to do something. That's clickbait, bitches.
No, but it does mean a lot, though. It does mean a lot to me. It really does, man. To be just over in McRae cutting my first songs and not really having any sort of direction, just doing what I can in this area with there being so little resources whatsoever. And then happened to meeting you that day, and that was like the day after I think y'all had got the studio, and like y'all hadn't even kicked things off when I met you that day.
Yeah, it was literally where I think I started putting shit in there September 22nd, I think is what my Snapchat told on me about today.
Right.
I think it was then, and then the first episode we recorded was October the 1st, or it was released October the 1st, and then you were the second. You were the second. So it wouldn't have been shit. I hadn't been up and running but a couple of days.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I still remember Chuck Hutchinson coming in there and showing me that fucking video of you in the cowboy hat and riding around in that Bronco. Badass Bronco you got. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. And then he's like, no, he's really good. And then you came right to the studio and you played me Time.
Yeah, that's a whole different side.
Yeah, like you played fucking Time and I was like, I can fuck with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember this. It was probably the second or third time you ever hung out with me. You played Flower Shop. It was on Ernest's podcast, right?
Yeah.
It was him and Jelly Roll or something.
No, it was him. It was just him by himself, I think, whenever he first.
It was him and somebody that was hanging out. Because I remember it was either him and Jelly Roll or him and John Daly. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But anyway, you was like, you got to fucking hear this dude.
Yep.
And I heard it. I was like, that's a fucking heater.
Yep, yep.
We had a lot of time those first couple months.
Yeah, we did. We really did.
And now I have to put up with you all the fucking time.
All the time, man.
It's okay. I wouldn't trade you for fucking nobody.
Same, buddy.
I know that I hit you in the dick a lot, and that's very childish and immature. I don't.
A lot.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Yeah. You know what's funny the other night when we did it to each other, just the one time we did it to each other? You didn't get me. The second time,
I didn't think I did.
I didn't realize how obvious it was that you didn't get me until Kaylee and them were like, "You didn't really get you, did you?" I was like, "Oh yeah, that's a bat."
She was like, "No, you didn't.
You did not get me at all."
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I really wish we could grow up and not play that game.
You know, it wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah, we can find other games. I don't know why hitting other people in the
dick. Only other game that we really play is we just verbally assault each other for hours.
It was funny when we were at the beach and like they were like, everybody all like each like, other. This is,
if I could tell at first, everybody was kind of like, whoa.
They thought we was in a fight in the kitchen.
Yeah.
When you picked me up, by the way, you're way stronger than I thought you were because I'm not light.
You said, don't ever manhandle
me. I said, don't you ever manhandle me the fucking kid like that. I do have pride, motherfucker. But no, like I'm appreciative of you and everybody, especially when we first started. There's people I don't like no more. I don't fuck with no more. That still came back then. There's some that gave me a cease and desist letter that came at the beginning of it. And even though I don't like those people anymore, I appreciate them coming then.
Yeah.
Like, but you're one of the ones that stayed around.
Yeah, man.
And there's a lot. There's a lot from those first shows that are not like that. The girls that I had hired at the time, I don't even know if they was hired there when you came.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they probably would have been for a lot. I don't know if they'd hung out with us.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Some of them were kind of ratchet, so they... I can see them wanting to. But no, I'm grateful for you guys. Like it's only getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't think 3 years ago. I mean, like, because we're moving to Macon here in the next couple of weeks. I did not think 3 years ago we'd have made it 3 years. I thought I'd have sold out and went to work for somebody else.
I mean, yeah, I definitely didn't see us being here, you know.
No,
not at all.
Not in the rooms that we're in now, too.
No.
You know what I love about you, too? And this ain't throwing shade on anybody else. I love people to earn shit. Like, some people think they earn shit with the social media presence,
mm-hmm.
and some people played the fucking Smoky Bars for 5 hours
yeah,
and made $150.
Yeah.
Some people grind.
Yeah.
I'm always, and I don't think either party is wrong. Like, one of them is a more of a preference to me because I've had to grind to get to where I'm at.
Yeah.
I've had to do shit I didn't want to do. I didn't have, and people that work in social media, I mean, because technically I do. It's not that you get stuff handed to you, but there's a lot of people that's having stuff being like, here you go. And they didn't have to do X, Y, and Z to get there.
Yeah.
I like the fact, and I wish that success for everybody, by the way. If you can do it, that's cool. I just don't think you learn any lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to learn
the extra hard way.
Yeah, I don't think that you have staying power if you have shit handed to you. I think you have to do shit a hard way to keep it, because in my mind, it's how you earn something.
And in both aspects, I mean, there's exceptions to all that. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, Bailey Zimmerman.
Yeah, I used to not be Ashley a fan Cook. Of his, but now I've livened up on Bailey. Yeah.
Well, they just got kind of tossed in with no experience. But those people have that special kind of talent. Where
they got a talent you can't hide.
And regardless of the talent, they're good people.
Oh, yeah. Ashley Cook, I'm telling you, when we did that show with her a couple weeks ago, one of the sweetest people I've ever met. She couldn't have been fucking nicer. And then when she opened her mouth to sing, she got you fucking attention. I like, that's one of the few times in my life I've been to a show that wasn't a writer's round. Mm-hmm. Now, a writer's round, you get surprised like that all the fucking time. Yeah. All the time. But at a show like that, it's hard to where somebody just like, okay. I imagine I'll have the same moment in a couple of weeks with Dylan Carmichael at the next Terry Honky Tonk Nights. I've seen him a couple of times, though. I know how good he is.
I had never seen him.
Oh, he's so fucking good. But actually, as soon as she opened her mouth, you're like, I know why we sold out tonight. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Even though like her songs aren't my favorites, mm-hmm. I fucking get it. Yeah. But she's still going and she's still playing these little dive bars and everything. I think she'll have to stay tomorrow. But the point I was getting to was, I just love the fact that you're still grinding. You're not trying to be in a room that you're not ready to be in yet. There's a lot of people that do that. And I'm not pointing fucking fingers at any single person that is a songwriter, a singer, or whatever. Because I know, like, there's been some dudes that have got pissy with some of the shit I've said. I even had last week at Red Door somebody say something to me. I'll tell you when we get off air. But it's not really that to me. I like the fact that there are some things that earn it.
Yeah.
Fucking earn it. If it takes you 10 years, earn it. Don't try to get into a room before you should be in that room. To me, that right there is the quickest way to get kicked out of a room. Like if we went into Seagull and like we were going in there just as friends to Bobby and them or whatever, it's one thing if they're like, hey, you want to write a song? More than likely, that's not what they're inviting you there for. They're inviting you there to have a good time, right? It's another thing if you go into there and you're like, hey, you want to write a song? You're not supposed to be in that room yet. You should be lucky that you're in there.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that most everybody that's around us, that they're like that. They're like, no, I'm going to earn my place.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, the circle we travel in kind of always is like that.
It's the fucking best people to me.
Just nothing but good people.
Yeah.
That's the one of the coolest things about seeing where we were 3 years ago, just meeting and then doing those first couple episodes that we did, to what we were doing at that time and to what we're doing now, and having the group of people that we have, the friends that we've made, the connections, the relationships with all kind of people. Seeing that kind of growth is better than any kind of industry growth, you know. That is what's really like for the heart, you know.
Yeah, it has done a lot for me. If you would have asked me 3 years ago when we started this, if there were certain people that I would work with, I would have told you not a chance.
Well, I think both of us 3 years ago were like, oh, Nashville. I mean, we can make a, name here. We don't need Nashville.
You can go back to them first episodes, but I don't think I understood it then.
I didn't at all. I didn't understand it whatsoever.
Yeah, I understand it now. Like, it's even to where I imagine you go back to a lot of them first episodes and you're going to get to where, oh, you don't need Nashville. You got social media. You can know all this. No.
A year ago, I started going with you, a little over a year ago. But before that, I'd already been going for a year and a half, but I was going by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know anybody up there other than my producer. And I was just going up there, staying in the hotel, going to the studio, and maybe a couple nights I'd go to Broadway by myself, have a couple drinks, go home. I would go to Red Door here and there, but I really didn't understand Red Door, know what it was.
Yeah.
But
we've been blessed. I mean, we really have. And regardless of who got us into what situation with who, I mean, the fact that we've got friends now, and we can call them friends. Like, we don't have to call them acquaintances or how some people do. Like, oh, yeah, I ran into him one time or her one time or whatever. Yeah. We got people with fucking number ones. And they genuinely love us. Like, they want to be around us.
And I mean, it's because we weren't there or trying to make it seem like we were there because they had number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were just wanted to be their hanging friend. Out, and that's the people we connected with. That's the people that we got along with.
Yeah. Yeah. Not trying to overextend a situation is what keeps some situations alive.
Yeah.
Like, we don't put pressure on nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, there's been, like, even today, Hannah Dasher, who I very much love. I've been a fan of hers for a long time, but we've known each other for a long time too. She used to date one of my buddies, and she messages me first thing this morning because she's got a show in Macon, and it's where, because I don't hound her, because I don't bother her, mm-hmm. because I don't get on her fucking nerves, or I don't ask to do shit that I shouldn't do yet. It's where she's like, hey, you want to do a podcast this week? You want to come to the show and hang out and all this kind of stuff. Like, we're doing shit to where it's not aggravating.
Yeah.
Like, I know one of us wants to meet Aaron Lewis. And maybe one day if they act right, you know, they get a chance to.
If I act right.
Yeah. Bitch, I'm telling you, you just got to be in the right place, right time. And
I know, man.
That's it. And he's cool as shit. But it's not like, even in those situations, they haven't said, hey, you guys can't come hang out. There's never been anybody that's been like, hey, we don't want you and your whole crew to come.
Yeah, everybody always invites us to go wherever.
I think I'm the person that usually says, hey, don't bring this person.
Probably.
But it's usually because I think they're a snaky cunt.
There's usually for a good reason.
Yeah. But I also, too, like I was telling you on the way up there, I have had to, in the past month's time, I've had to come to a new understanding of giving advice. I've got to stop. Like, I've got to stop thinking that I know what's best for anybody else.
No.
Because honestly, what's best for them might not be what's best for me, or vice versa. Like, I have to stop. Like, even though I take pride in being like, oh, I'm the big brother of everybody, or I'm the dad, or whatever the fuck we joke about and say, I had to go through a lot of bad shit and make a lot of mistakes to be where I'm at now. I've got to realize, like, even though I don't want somebody to make a mistake, I don't want you to make a mistake. I want Riley to.
No.
I don't want anybody that I love, Will or anybody to make a mistake. I have to stop being that way and have to be like, I got to love them regardless if they make a mistake.
Well, you won't never stop being that way because you got a good heart. That's just who you are. Yeah. You're a good person. You're always wanting to look out for somebody. But I get what you're saying, like, in a more passive way.
Yeah, you have to.
Like, you just have to kind of let somebody go do what they're going to do. Give them, if they ask, give them a word of advice or just say whatever about the situation, then you have to step back. And that's hard whenever you care about people
That.
It's super hard.
But also, too, you don't know if I'm giving, and this is what I've really beat into my head lately, I don't know if I'm giving the wrong advice.
Yeah.
Well, like, because something wouldn't be good for me doesn't mean it wouldn't be good for somebody else.
Yeah.
And I've had to really back the fuck down from that. But like you said, it's hard. I mean, like, all of y'all are literally like my kids. Especially you, like you said, 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years. Like, I don't see you as just a fucking friend anymore. Like, you're my brother. Mm-hmm. I'd do anything in the world for you.
Same.
And it's just like, damn. But it's my fault. Like, but also, too, I've got to stop expecting people to act like me that aren't me. Like, just because I'm a loyal fucking person to a fault, and I'm too loyal than to the fact where I overstep. Like, but it's honestly like how I would rather take the bullet than you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I can deal with bullshit. Somebody comes at me, I know how to go right back at you to where I'll make you look like a dumbass.
Right.
Like, if you want to be ugly to me, but I don't ever want it to be that way. Like, there's nobody that I've got into it with on social media that I wanted to.
Same.
But I usually stop it. Like, I'm going to do my customer service shit to where I'm going to say what I've got to say. I'm going to say it one time, then I'm not going to address it again. I've addressed the situation. I don't have to keep going back and forth with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm just glad that, like, that's the hard part of being this way. But also, I love y'all enough to where I want to be that way. Like, it's hard to find people that you want to be that way for. Y'all be making me want to be, like, running through a brick wall and shit and tackle a motherfucker that's going to mess with y'all.
We feel the same. I know I do.
Well, good.
For sure.
Well, you know what I want to do?
What do you want to do?
It's my 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go get really, really high. I want to drink some more beer. Prayerfully like to find a fat ass to rub on later.
Preferably.
So, how about this? How about we re-release the second episode ever of the Josh Terry podcast between me and you, and then people, after you listen to it, me and Dave will answer, which I don't really answer any questions, but if y'all had any or you had any comments or whatever, you can go to my Instagram at JLTerry87 or Dave's. Also post probably a little clip from this on TikTok and Instagram and shit.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. We, and, of course, we're going to always do more episodes together.
Yeah,
of course. But I would like everybody to hear where we started to where we are now.
Yeah, I think that'd be a cool thing to share because we've both grown so much. So much, dude.
And plus, I'm already a little high, so I don't want to keep doing this now.
Well, we got to give them time to listen to the old one if we're going to do that.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, let's do that. All right, folks. Well, look, I love y'all. Thank you so much. 3 years has been crazy, but I've been blessed. I've been very blessed this past 3 years, and the biggest blessings in my life has been you and the rest of the folks I come to call family. It's not the money. It's not the trips. It's the people I know that are loyal to me and that are my real brothers and sisters.
Always, man.
Love you, Bubba.
Love you, brother.
We will see y'all. Well, actually, you're going to see us again in just a second, but it's from 3 years ago. Happy time machine, motherfuckers.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've shortened the time from harvest to home for our tasty tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. So no matter how you shop, you have more time with your fresh produce. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We've locked in low prices to help you save big store-wide. Look for the locked in low prices tags and enjoy extra savings throughout the store. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Alarm. Take MitoQ. Run, shower, breakfast, kids to school, work time, home time, dinner time, fun time, bedtime. Whew. When you're leading a full life, MitoQ can make all the difference. MitoQ is a science-based cell health supplement that helps your trillions of cells generate renewable daily energy. Because energy is renewable. Time is not. Discover more at MitoQ.com. That's MitoQ.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Today with me, I got a bad, bad man that y'all might not have heard of yet, but you're going to hear real soon, Mr. David McMahon. How you doing today?
Good, man. Glad to be here, dude.
You brought somebody with you today, Hunter?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to tell me your last name, bro.
McClendon.
McClendon. Cool. So, David, for folks who don't know, and I'm just getting to meet David, he has been to the studio twice now with us in about a week's time. Up-and-coming musician. You're 21 or 22?
21.
Dude is solid as hell.
Appreciate it.
I'm telling you, when you came in here last week, Thursday, I was drunk. And the girls that worked for me, we had to do a podcast with them that day. And I had to go back and look at the videos the next day. And I was like, shit. I didn't realize how good you were at the time. Oh. You got wasted on whiskey the first time.
Right.
Yeah, I looked back and I listened back and I was like, damn, I got to have this guy back in here.
Well, I appreciate it.
And he was in here earlier with us doing our first Velvet session, which y'all get to check out the Velvet sessions real soon. They're pretty legit. I like them. I like 70 shit, though,
it's
dude.
It's cool, man. It's got a cool vibe.
I hope it does. Well, David, tell us a little bit about you, man, for everybody who doesn't
know you yet. I'm 21. I'm from Camilla, Georgia. A little small town down about an hour from the Florida line. Started singing probably 12, 13 years old in church, man. Then got my car, started venturing out and playing little small bar and grill, little restaurant places around 30, 40 mile radius, you know. And then got out of high school, didn't go to college, went for a little while.
No, I did too. I think I went for about a week.
For a while.
I figured out I like drinking and women, and they didn't have classes in that
it's
shit.
It's dangerous. Yeah. It's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
It's a wild world out there, man.
Where'd you go to?
ABAC.
That's why the fuck you didn't finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit. Look, nobody's been. I don't think anybody's graduated from ABAC yet.
Probably not. Ever. Man, it's a jungle.
That and Valdosta State.
Yeah, man. It's a good time.
That's where
I tried to go. Sure. Yeah,
I pretended there for a little while.
Yeah, I was getting in as many chances as I could to go to Blue Water and Valdosta all again.
It used to be Charlie O's or O Charlie's, whatever the hell it was. Right. And then there was Mulligans and tight ends and oh yeah, dude.
I remember going to see Riley Green and Mitchell Tenpenny and John Langston and all those boys way before they blew up over there.
Valdosta used to be the place to go.
Oh man, yeah, the Gen 2 in Tifton. ABAC. The gym was a good place. Florida Georgia Line, played there when they're coming up.
One of my buddies, Trey Landon, he's played there a couple of times. He's opened up for Corey Smith, and we always go and get hammered with him.
The one time I went to the Corey Smith over there, I was there for maybe 10, 15 minutes.
It
was
shoulder to shoulder. Oh, no, I remember. Degrees
in there. I'm one of those lucky assholes that's friends with the band.
Right.
So I always get on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there ain't no way in hell.
I think I got a drink spilled on me within the first, like, 5 minutes. So I was like, I'm over that.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I mean, he puts on a hell of a show, though.
Oh, yeah.
He puts on a hell of a show.
Yeah, he's kind of a jackass.
I've heard.
Yeah, he's mean.
I mean, hey,
the first time I met him, I'm a Florida fan. The first time I ever met him, it was in an alleyway in Macon.
Right.
And me and my buddy had went to go piss. And he was playing at the place across from it that we was going to. And we both have Florida hats on. And we run into him as he's coming out of the restaurant in the alley. And I'm like, hey, dude, can we get a picture? And he's like, yeah, come on over here. And he was like, but y'all got to take his Florida hats off. And I was like, ha, that's funny. Take a picture. And he's like, no, take this fucking hat off or you're not getting a picture.
And I was like, yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Smith. right away, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do it again.
King of Athens, man.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
Well, at least there's somebody out there winning at something.
I guess so.
Yeah. Are you a Gator fan,
absolutely,
too?
Absolutely, man.
Oh, shit. No, well, knew something was wrong with you when I saw your haircut.
Absolutely, man, you know it.
I'm just fucking with you. Yeah, I have a very fucked up sense of humor. If I pick on you, it means I think you're cool. I couldn't pull off the whatever. What do you call this?
The eyebrow. The tackle box, actually.
Oh, did you? Yeah. That's cool. That remind me not to run into those tackle boxes.
Yeah,
that's right. So, where are you playing at and everything like right now?
Right now, I'm just still doing acoustic stuff locally. Trying to get some stuff booked for the end of the year, full band. Got some cool guys out of Nashville playing with me now. So.
Cool. You got one of my boys fixing to play with you.
Yeah, man. I've heard it. I've heard a lot about him. I still ain't met him yet.
We literally was texting about you beforehand.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like, that was so fucking – I saw him last weekend in Crazy Bull in Macon.
Yeah.
And he was out there with Trey Teen. And we always drink too much, have too much fun. And then he's texting me the next day about coming down here to the studio and hang out. And he was like, I'm going to start playing with this guy. Had no idea it was you. And then you and your buddy, the producer,
Chuck. Chuck at Matt Studios.
Yeah. It was like, hey, we want to come meet y'all. And I was like, hell yeah. And then it was cool.
Yeah, man.
For it to be.
Crazy.
Yeah, small damn world.
Welcome to Georgia.
No shit, dude. Mm-hmm. The music scene here ain't that big, and the ones that are good all know each other.
That's right. We try. Everybody supports each other. That's what's good around here.
Yeah. Well, most of them.
You can't speak for all of them.
Yeah. There's some of them. I don't like assholes.
Right.
I'm usually the first person to call somebody out about it, too, because if anybody's going to be an asshole, it's got to be me. Right. But I think I'm funny about it.
It also depends on who you ask for everybody, I guess.
Exactly. But there's a couple around here that's got their head stuck up their asses.
I'm sure.
We won't mention no names because
I
need you to share this.
Yeah.
They think we're friends.
I'll put on a show for them. That's fucking about it.
That's why we're entertainers.
We've got some of those guys, and y'all probably know them. That you send the deposit to for the show, and then something always comes up last minute. But as quick as it took you to send that deposit, they sure don't send it back that quick. There's some of them that we still waiting on, and they got Nashville contracts now.
You're going to be waiting for a while.
They can kiss my fat ass, too. Once again, not saying your name. But anyway, so with the stuff that you got planned, did COVID fuck you up this year?
Oh, you know, it's kind of been a little bit of a blessing, man, to be honest. It was I got laid off from my job. I was building fence part-time, and I was starting to take it serious to write songs about that time. I'd already came up here and met with Chuck and started tracking a little bit and met with Mill Cannon out of Atlanta, and then we started working on that, and then that allowed me time to really put my head down and work for a little while, you know, because I'd sold some farm equipment, sold all my farm business stuff that I had, and put some money into just doing this music full time and chasing that dream, you know. So probably throughout the whole COVID, I was just sitting down writing songs, pumping out that single, It Ain't Tonight, which is available everywhere.
By the way, so good.
I appreciate it.
The three that you played me a while ago and the ones I just heard you do, you know, dicking around with us here at the studio. You got something there.
I appreciate that, man.
You do.
We try.
And I'm usually not like
the one who kisses ass.
Right.
But we're going to kiss yours a little bit because you got something there. And I need you to, when your ass get to Nashville, you take some of us with you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I want to go to Nashville.
Man. I wouldn't go to fucking Nashville. So really. Everybody that I know up there hates it because they got to play the game.
Nah, man. See, I'm not about playing the game. I'm just going to be real, play what I want to play the way I want to play it.
See, I'm that guy that I don't know how much money it's going to take me to sell out, but I want to be put in the position to find out.
That's a good question.
So, yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, they throw a big-ass number at me. I might be the next LeBron.
You never know.
Dude, I'm telling you, I've been broke my whole damn life.
Hey, for real.
I've been broke. For real. You know, I don't know how much money it takes for me to be uppity, but shit, I'm down to find out.
That's true.
If you wouldn't go to Nashville, would you try to just do the local Georgia scene, or would you try to go out on your own and book shows in other states? What would you do?
Man. I feel like at the stage I'm at right now, like I said, during all this COVID stuff, me being able to build a lot and go through a couple band practices with some guys and test guys out and really figure out things and meet guys like you in the industry throughout this time, you know, everybody's kind of not having a lot to do. So everybody's kind of intermingling and planning stuff to come out of COVID with. So we've been getting together a big thing, getting an EPK rolling and getting the website rolling, merch, all that good stuff. Got the band rolling, got some good solid guys coming into play. So that, coming out of this COVID stuff, hopefully at the end of the year, maybe beginning of next year, we can hit the ground rolling and conquer the state, conquer Alabama, Florida first, Tennessee.
Don't go to Alabama. Don't stay at Alabama.
You
got to
play everywhere, man.
Yeah, shit. I hate Alabama. Yeah, I hate everything about the state of Alabama. If anybody's listening to this podcast and you live in Alabama, there's a good chance I hate you. The only thing good about Alabama is in Dothan. There used to be this bar there, and it's called Buck Wild.
Yep.
And there was a singer. His name was Jeff Golden. The fact that I just said his name on a podcast, he just got hard. I'm not even playing. This guy bought his own bar because he wanted to be a country singer. He goes and he does a costume change in front of 30 people at most. Every five or six songs comes out mascara. Like, I'm talking about blouses and shit. Dude can't sing for shit. But when you look him up on YouTube and everything, this dude does impersonations.
Right.
He don't just do white impersonations. Like, he goes full blackface. Oh, I shit you not. He's not got, cool. But it's funny. Like, maybe not cool in 2020, but shit, it's something that all of us would laugh about if nobody knew we'd get in trouble for it. Like, we're full blown Ray Charles, can't see, hitting the piano keys. But it's like, dude, he's so talented. But at the same time, it's like, this dude is super fucking racist.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I should like him or not.
Right.
We got stuck with the Toad Lick Music Festival used to be over there. And one of our buddies who's a big booker for a lot of like Crazy Bull places like that. Mm-hmm. He's out of Florida. And he used to give us free tickets to go. And I had to quit having it because I had a fucking tornado come through every year. Like, all 3 years I've been, a tornado came through then and messed up the whole thing. So everybody always go to this Buck Wild place, see Jeff Golden. And I'm telling you, me and some buddies that are musicians that were like, not, I mean, they're, nobody really knows them still, but they're in Nashville. They're doing a thing. A lot of them got pub deals.
Yeah.
We're all just sitting there in our minds blown by this cat. Like, it's like, is this shit really happening? It's like a print show, but in front of 40 people.
Right.
But but besides you,
it's
not playing.
Cringy, probably.
Oh, it I is. Mean, It's so bad that it's good.
That'd be rough.
It's so bad that it's good.
Some things, yeah.
Like, it's like a fucking train wreck. Like, yeah, no, I'm not supposed to look at this shit,
but
I
can't look away.
But I can't look away.
Yeah, I got
yeah.
you.
By the way, none of us are saying blackface is okay. We're in 2020. I don't agree with blackface at all. But I mean, it's funny.
It's okay because, like, have you ever seen Tropic Thunder?
Oh, I love Tropic Thunder.
Robert Downey Jr., man. Come on, man.
Yeah, but they're trying to get that canceled now, too.
No, man, there's no way, because that was satire. It was a guy playing blackface. So, like,
it's still
so many layers, bro.
I know, but I love
Robert Downey Jr., man. Come on.
Yeah, let's steal. I love that movie.
So fun.
You never go full retard. God, I love that shit. You probably can't say that in 2020.
I'm a lead farmer, motherfucker.
Yes. That whole fucking movie's so good. True. That's one of those that you forget about. And then this, all of a sudden, you see it like on Netflix or something, and then the rest of your day, you're like, you know what? I'm fixing to smoke one or drink one, and I'm going to watch Tropic Thunder four times today.
Right.
But, so, just besides you conquering the South or whatever,
yeah.
You got any, like, big plans or anything about stuff that you, anybody you really want to write with that, you know, is feasible at the moment or anything?
I mean, there's a bunch of guys. I'm really into the Texas Red Dirt scene.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Coe Wetzel, sure. Giovanni, Coe Parker Wetzel, McCollum, all those guys, man. They're all super talented, and the thing they're doing is so cool. It's so different.
What we really like about you is when you came in here and you kind of just like as you can imagine, from me coming from radio to this, having number one country show in the state of Georgia, becoming this, you get artists all the time sending you shit.
Yeah.
Like just all the time somebody, and I'm a nice guy to a point, but there's a lot of them you're just like, dude, how do you think this is? Yeah. Like I'm out of respect for you, I'm not going to tell you how horrible you are, but at the same time, like, dude, do something else.
Yeah.
Like, please. But when you came in here and I was like, okay, I got this. And then what we're trying to do right now with Raising Grace Entertainment and studios and all that stuff, we're trying to do Red Dirt Meets Red Clay.
For sure.
Concert series next year to where we're going to book 5 or 6 dates and we're going to have opening acts like you that actually rock from Georgia and opening up for folks like that. Now, we probably ain't booking Coe because his shit's done turned to gold.
Oh, yeah.
And I ain't mad at him. I promise you.
Rightfully so.
Hey, by all due respect, I ain't mad at him. That is a bad son of a bitch.
Yes, sir.
But like Randall King and Colby Cooper.
Cody
West. Yeah, Josh Ward, all those guys. Like they're so badass. And there's just something different happening
really
in Texas.
Echoes and Rooftops, too.
Oh, my gosh. This damn song?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's the song of the week for our the podcast or whatever. This damn song.
Yes, sir.
Man. And yours, too.
Early, yeah, man. And yours, too, by the way.
Man, I can't wait for y'all to hear more of him. But, yeah, when we do that, like, you're definitely one of the artists that we see opening up. Because there's another guy that actually played a show for us Saturday night named Britt Hilton. We got to get you and Britt together. Britt's going to come do a podcast and do a session and everything with us. He is raw. He is nasty. He's a 250-pound white man that's got this old black woman's soul in his voice, that rasp.
Can't beat it.
Aretha Franklin, to the day I die, I think has got the sexiest voice. Her and Etta James.
Etta James at last. Oh, I used to go to sleep to that song.
Man, shit. Aretha's got this song. It's a Elton John cover. Mm-hmm. It's called Holy Moses. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been drinking around me, and I'm talking about tore the hell up, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to hear Aretha turned all the way up to Holy Moses. It's one of the baddest fucking songs I've ever heard in my life. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for up-and-coming young guys like you, 21 years old.
Yeah, man.
And because, dude, I think that's why country music's going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so heavily influenced by those guys, especially Coe.
Yeah.
I got to meet him and his guys down in Tallahassee with Colt Ford, man. And they were super humble, super nice guys, man. They gave me a lot of pointers, man. And I respect them and everything they do, for sure. And they pretty much influenced me to really chase it right after I met those guys and played them a couple of my songs. And we just hung out and had a good time, you know.
Man,
that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, dude. To meet somebody that you look up to and all like that, it's a crazy experience.
I usually say don't do that.
Yeah.
Meeting people that you admire much.
I've met Colt Ford before.
You want to know something insanely crazy about Colt Ford?
What's that?
He used to be a golf pro.
Yeah, he's super good. When I was on the bus with Coe and them, when he walked off the bus, he was like, get up in the morning, Coe. We got to go golfing in the morning.
I am a huge fan of Joe Rogan and his podcast. Yes, sure, I love everything. Sure. I got him, the Godfather, I call him, right here on the back wall. He's the shit. But he had Ron White on his podcast a couple weeks ago. And Ron White was talking about how good of a golfer that Colt Ford was.
I believe it.
And I was like, this motherfucker, he does not look like he ever played golf a day in his life. Like it, but then I'm like, oh, I gotta play golf and I suck.
It's like a John Daly.
Oh man, John Daly. Man, I want to get so tore up and play 9 holes.
With him,
only 9 holes because there's no way I could drink with him until 18.
I'm fine with just, you know.
If I'm gonna make an ass out of myself, I'd rather be stationary. Yeah. Oh, what? Speaking of playing golf and stuff, when you're not writing music and trying to melt faces, what you doing?
I enjoy golf. I play golf occasionally, but I like being outside.
We got to book this now.
I'm not even playing. I didn't know you played.
I want to play that place in McRae over there State Park. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm too trashy to play there.
Oh, really?
I'm not good either. So. I'm not good.
Okay.
No. I'm double bogey at best.
Okay.
Same. I mean, I might
on a good day.
I'll have a couple shit holes to where everything lines up.
Right.
And it's like, oh, he can play par golf. But I'm telling you, it starts off every time. I'll birdie the first hole. I'll par the next two, and then the rest of the day I double everything.
Yeah.
If it was just three holes of golf,
I'm usually terrible on the front nine, and I pick up on the back nine, but just not pick up enough.
We never make it the whole 18.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. We're hammered.
I played my senior year for the school I went to because I couldn't play baseball. I tore my labrum. So I tried it. First time ever playing. It wasn't bad. I wasn't the worst on the team, but I wasn't the best for sure.
Well, athletes tend to gravitate towards golf when you hurt something anyway.
Yeah.
It's because we can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Mine was I really liked baseball, football.
Yep.
Then getting out of high school, I played softball for a couple of years, and I just got tired of running.
For a little while.
I got tired of running, so I was like, you know, I'm gonna try golf. And it's okay. It's the most expensive hobby I've ever had in my life because I'm just one of those folks. I can't have cheap shit. Like I think if I go buy something, it's gonna make me better, and it doesn't.
No, I'm playing with like some yard sale clubs.
Shit, I wish I wasn't uppity about that stuff. I don't know what it is. If it's a sporting good, I'm like, oh no, I'm getting this expensive. And then I feel like a jackass. An
expensive hobby / job, so I can't dump it in golf.
No.
Oh, what do you play with anyway?
What do you mean?
Guitar. I didn't see.
Epiphone. Yeah, Epiphone. I don't remember the model, but I got Morgan Monroe. That's really my favorite guitar. That's the guitar that's in my music room I write with and all. It's about one of my first real guitars that I first gigged with. It's a sweet guitar.
Cool.
Awesome guitar, all mahogany. But I do love that Epiphone in there. Nice. Sweet.
So you got to play a couple for Code.
Yeah.
Anybody else you got to get close to?
That's fine.
It's got a good name to him.
I mean, any of those guys out there for sure. I love Giovanni. I love all those guys.
I mean, have you met anyone?
No. I mean,
open for anyone.
No, I mean, I'll be opening for Shane Owens in November.
He's got a song over there called 21, or is it 19?
I can't remember.
Yeah. I think that's the
traditional
guy.
Country guy.
Yeah. He's got this army song. It's about a kid. Yeah, it's Shane Owens.
Right.
It's 19. Kid goes off in the army, gets killed. He would have went to Tennessee to play football. Oh, it's a badass song.
That sounds familiar.
It's a badass. It's the only one I know by him.
Right.
But yeah.
He's got a huge following. I heard he's a great singer, great guy. Yeah. I hadn't brushed up on his music. But nah.
We'll have to play one for you whenever we get out of here.
For sure.
But when you got with the folks that are going to be your fans, one reason why I like doing these podcasts with up-and-coming artists is because we want to make you stand out. We want them to get to know you for like you. Yeah. So if you had,
you know,
a million of your fans in the future, because you're gonna have that many. You're super talented, and if you stay raw and nasty like those out there.
Yeah.
Are you single?
No, I'm married.
You're married at 21.
Yeah, married. Just had a baby girl.
Congratulations.
She's 4 months.
There's no way in hell I could have been a musician and married at 21.
It's tough.
That's also why the good Lord didn't give me any musical talent either. Yes. I would definitely have AIDS.
AIDS.
There's no way I wouldn't.
Right.
I like women.
Well, I got my party days out of the way pretty young, so.
Still in mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm 30. I'm 33. My tank ain't on it yet.
I'm on the road and I'm playing. Yeah, I'm rowdy. But, I mean, at the same time, I like to go home on the weekends. You know,
that's cool.
At the house. You know?
Much respect for that.
Sure. If I'm not at the house, I'm usually hunting somewhere. I mean, that's just about it. I love it, hunting everything. I love the outdoors. I love everything about it.
Well, for everybody who doesn't know you, but they will. Tell them some stuff. A little insight to a day in your life or what got you to where you're at now. Just, you know, who you are.
Sure. Well, coming out of high school, like I said, I was going to go play baseball somewhere. Ended up going to ABAC. But right after I graduated that July, my grandpa died of ALS. And he was pretty much like my dad growing up. You know, my dad wasn't around. And he was my mom and him and my grandma and all of them. Shout out to them for supporting me. Because I wouldn't
do
without them. Shout out to my sister, for real.
Yeah. Great people. They've supported me every step of the way. And Grandpa always supported me, but we had a corn business when I was 8 years old. He had a full-time job, but he started this on the side for me to have, you know, to work through high school and coming out of high school. It was always going to be passed down to me. After he died, I ran it the year before we passed because he was going downhill. ALS is one of the worse things.
Oh, yeah. I hate your that's family a, went through that, brother.
That's a terrible disease. But we, I took over that business and ran it for while I was going to college a day back, and I couldn't do it, man. I ran it for the next year, and get into this year, I decided it was a good time to sell it because, I mean, I was at a spot where it was either sell it or spend a lot of money to do something with it because I just wasn't making enough. So sold it, put it all into this music, and here we are. Trying to do something with it, man.
As a person who's a family, cotton farmers, peanut farmers, and everything, you probably made the hardest decision of your life.
Man, it's tough. It really was, man. It is.
But what's sad, though, there's just not any money in it anymore.
No, it's tough, especially when you're not born into it, you know?
Yeah.
Around my area, you know, land's not for sale. Land's not for rent around. There's family farms everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So we were lucky to have what we did and just got to where I couldn't find it. Couldn't find enough to make any money off of it, man. Farming's a tough industry. It's definitely one of the hardest industries I've ever worked in, for sure.
Now you just got to write a farming song.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to.
You as much as you like Texas country.
I got one that it was actually one of the first ones that I wrote that I put out on social media and called Georgia Clay, and that's pretty much about that. Just those roots that I was raised up in. It's more country song, even though I like to rock out. I love my
I like that mix, though. I absolutely love that mix.
Yeah, I think I want to throw it on the EP because that throws a lot of diversity on the EP.
Well, you'll get with somebody like Ko or just any of them, really. They'll put some twang in one every once in a while.
Listen to his first couple albums, man. That's Texas country, man.
Yeah.
That's Texas country. And it just evolved into what I feel like all that's kind of shifting to, a little bit of a rock revival / traditional country.
Yeah, I think everybody's just tired of pop country. Yeah, I think that everybody's just fucking over it.
But it's the only thing on the radio, so what else can you listen to?
Yeah. Well, coming from radio, you got to play what you're told to play or you get fired.
Yeah.
I would literally get in trouble all the time because all I wanted to play was Sturgill Simpson, Tyler Childers, Frank Foster.
Sturgill's story is also a big one. That
like Zach Bryan?
For sure.
Do what? Like Zach Bryan?
Oh, yeah. We're trying to book Zach Bryan, but you can't right now because he's in service.
Come on, man. You Navy guy.
You can't. I mean, that's
just so good, dude.
Yeah. He's incredible.
That song, when I got fired a couple weeks ago, I listened to Headed South
on the way here.
Yeah, yeah, man. Codeine Pills.
Oh, dude, that whole. Oh my gosh, he doesn't have that song.
No.
When he comes out of service, he's gonna be so fucking big. It's gonna be
to the top.
I think he's gonna jump Tyler. I think him and Tyler are neck and neck right here.
Tyler Childers is a different breed.
Man, I shared a picture the other day. It was 4 years ago to that day.
When he's sitting on the
park bench.
Got his guitar case in front of him. I saw it.
Playing it, man. And you know what?
I shared that too.
He's still that same guy that's sitting on that bench today. He's still that same guy.
All right, so before COVID hit, him and Sturgill were in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's the last concert I got to go to this year. Mm-hmm. We were in front row at it. I got to meet his wife.
No way.
Got to meet his wife because this was how cool this cat was. When he came off stage, there was a tunnel right here to the left or to the right of us. And he went over there and sat and watched about 30 minutes of Sturgill show. Just sitting there chilling, like drinking. Just a fan. And that's what he looked like. He looked like one of us sitting there. Mind blown.
This guy just loves the music.
At what Sturgill was doing.
Hey, man, Sturgill's a monster too, man. That Sailor's Guide to Earth.
I left that show. I left that show, and I was in shock. And the way I felt seeing him was like what I would imagine my dad seeing Elvis for the first time.
Oh, man.
I've never seen anybody play the instruments that he played the way he did.
Right.
The sound, sing.
So much soul.
All red velvet suits, too. Oh, gosh. And then Tyler Childers' wife was literally... She was in a hoodie. She was in sweatpants, Carhartt hoodie or whatever. She was 5 feet away from us. And we talked to her for a few minutes because one of my buddies that was with us was like, that's his wife. And I was like, that cannot be his wife. She's looking half homeless. Like, her husband's up here done made $100,000 tonight. Ain't no way.
Right.
And I finally said something to her and gave her my business card. And was like, hey, I know how busy he is. Right. Ain't no way he's going to want to come do, a country show in Georgia. But, hey, I took my shot. I damn sure didn't hear nothing. But, no, he was just so cool and down to earth from what I saw. And then Sturgill got up there.
Good rocks up.
Well, a lot of people from that show, they were going because of Tyler. Like, there was a lot of folks that were leaving when he was done. Like, we made some friends right here in the pit. And as soon as Tyler got done, they took off.
Right.
And we were like, what the fuck are these people doing? Like literally half the pit cleared.
Nah.
And I liked Sturgill before that. Sturgill's but so by the end of his set, I hate to say it for all you Tyler Childers fans out there, because I like Tyler Childers don't compare. I'm telling you, live, I've never seen anything like it. I've gone to some big ass concerts. Sturgill Simpson is above and beyond anything I've ever seen.
You like that new album with the anime stuff? I love that.
I do. I especially like Mercury in Retrograde. Yeah.
I like that. Best Clockmaker on Mars.
That's good. That one's trippy. I like trippy shit though. But then what's the other one? The one where he's, and if you read the lyrics back, it's so good. It's a good song. No, I think that's what it's called. A good look on there. If you go back and read the lyrics to that shit, you're like, oh, he's dissing everybody that is fake as hell in country music or anything. Yeah. But I escalated from that. But that's all I wanted to play during my 4-hour show in radio, because that's what the people that were listening, they wanted to hear. They're so tired of Kane Brown. And I don't even know how that's considered country. Then Dan and Shay and all that bullshit. It's just
pop
horrible.
That's fine if you want to label it country, man, but let's break it off into different sections. Country pop.
Yeah.
Let's have a country rock that's not just southern rock.
See, I think if you have that repeated loop on it and you're in Nashville, I don't think it's country. I think it's pop music.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's popular.
That's it. I mean, but still, there should be a different genre, because there's no way that Kane Brown made the money that Tyler or Sturgill made last year.
Yeah.
There's no way. They had to have better record sales.
Independent money is entirely different.
Well, Cody Johnson, shit. I mean,
he went forever.
Cody Johnson sold out where the Dallas Cowboys played on his own dollar. He probably could have damn retired close to after that.
Right.
I mean, I respect that, though. And I like Cody Jinks. He's got this quote on stage telling Nashville to fuck off.
Hippies and Cowboys.
Yeah. I love it, man. I wish we had more of, that in country music. That's what needs to be in country music. I mean, the fucking reason why most of us like country music is because of outlaws.
Yeah, man.
That's what country music is, man.
Just guys doing what they want to do. All those guys, they're not all the same. They're all doing whatever music comes from their heart and whatever they want, And that's the same thing I'm trying to do. Whatever music comes to me the way it is, I'm not trying to fit it into a box. You know what I'm saying?
Don't fit.
It's just whatever comes out.
Oh, dude.
That's the best music.
I respect it.
All of those guys are like that.
I tell you, have y'all ever seen the show? It's called Tales from the Tour Bus. You know who Mike Judd is?
Yes.
All right. Mike Judd, who did King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead. Okay. He did this show on Cinemax. It's a series. It's called Tales from the Tour Bus. Mm-hmm. He tells the life story, or the professional story, of once they come into music, of Johnny Paycheck, of George Jones, of all these people, and it's animated. But it's the people that were in the bands that are still alive, the producers that were still alive, their exes that are still alive. He animates them, and they tell the story.
Right.
Go watch it later. Get a little trippy. Watch it. I'm telling you, what you were just talking about with kind of like you putting yourself into the music and all that, and people being real. The artists that they go into, they were real. The shit that they sung about was shit they were living. And that's why I'm a fan of country music.
Those guys were the originals. The original outlaws, man.
Merle Haggard.
Waylon Jennings is.
He's one of the ones in the thing.
He's one for me, man.
George Jones was already one of my faves anyway. But after watching that doc, George Jones is the shit.
Right.
He used to get so fucked up. They tell a story in the thing that he bought this new truck. He had $25,000 worth of cash. And he was riding down the road. He was drinking. And this old man was walking along the highway. George pulls over, picks him up. He asks him where he's going. He said, about 5 miles. And George gave him some whiskey. They started drinking, hit it off. George went about 5 miles. He said, where are we going? He said, about 5 miles. And it just continues for 6 hours. Finally, they get into Florida from Tennessee. And he asked him, he's like, where are we going? He said, Fort Myers, Florida. Like, so the whole time, George thinks he's saying 5 miles, but he's saying Fort Myers.
Oh, jeez.
But George comes back, his producer or his manager gets a hold of him. And he's like, man, where the hell have you been at? He said, I took old boy down the road. He said, well, give me some of that money that we gave you before you left. Because there's a show we got to pay for or whatever.
Right.
And we got to pay somebody back because your ass didn't show up to the show or whatever it was. And anyway, he had left with $25,000 in cash. Came back with about $200. And he said, wow. Man, he needed a couple dollars, so I gave it to him. He didn't know how much money he had. So he's handed him the whole stack and kept just enough for gas and beer on the way home.
Oh, Jesus.
They tell you like all this shit, and by the end of it, you're like,
that's crazy. Fucking man.
Could you imagine being that guy?
Giving
you 25 grand.
The dude probably didn't know. I mean, you got to think, like, back then, we didn't really have social media, or there was no social media or anything.
I mean, George Jones was big in his areas.
Yeah.
I've heard Hank's tour was insane.
The what?
I've heard Hank Williams Jr.'s tour was insane.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard it was crazy.
I think
it was the Jim Beam or the Jack Daniels tour that he used to have. I heard it was.
I don't know. I need to learn about that one. I don't know anything about it.
I think Mel Canis told me some stories.
I definitely. He's one I can never see in person again.
Really?
Yeah. That you know, he was so fucked up at the show that we saw him at.
Oh man.
That he changed the lyrics to a song, and I'm all for like you changing some shit, but he was sloppy.
Right.
And it was just like, man, we paid this amount of money to go to. And it was very disheartening that I had waited so long to see Hank.
Yeah,
then it was like that. Reba
too. I drove 6 hours to the Strawberry Festival in Florida
from Eastman, Georgia,
to see her. And
the whole night, me and old girl was just waiting on Fancy to come on.
She's got a couple more that I love. And by the time she got to Fancy, her voice,
man, I can't sing for shit, and I probably sounded better than her.
Oh, geez.
She's still beautiful now. She was still beautiful, but you can tell that I respected it though because
she didn't voice track it or anything. Like, she still like she gave us what we wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't fancy, but it was close. Yeah. It was close.
I like the what Cody Johnson just re-released Dear Rodeo with her featuring her.
No shit, I have not heard that
it's
yet.
It's good. It's really good.
Oh damn, that's definitely going on my list of stuff that's to do combo as soon as I get done.
Nobody knew that they really needed.
Oh man!
Came up out of nowhere. He didn't announce it until they released it.
So, well, yeah, Cody Johnson is just such a—he's just a freak, but like in the best way.
So good,
man. So one thing that on my show I always did on radio was every Friday, right before I got off, I always ended every show on a Friday with "His Name Is Jesus" by Cody Johnson,
right?
Or his version of it. I don't think it's his, obviously, but. I ended it with that every time, and people loved it. Yeah. They absolutely loved it.
And it was a for him to go gospel
to "Doubt Me Now" to "Dear Rodeo," "Monday Morning Earl."
Yeah,
even his first one. He's got on his first EP. He's got one talking about his grandpa. It's a song about.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, dude.
It's talking about his grandpa, and it's pretty much saying if my granddad would be president. We'd be a whole lot better off, like.
Right.
Oh, dude. He's just gas. I mean, he's just so good. And you'll hear him sing about one subject, and then the next song is that, what's that, Nothing On song?
Nothing On You. Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm about to get naked. Like, he just fucking sung this to me. Right. I'm a grown-ass man.
It's
but
a good song.
Like, fuck.
That's a damn good
song. I'm finna get naked. It's going to be nasty.
It happens sometimes.
Eh, fuck it. But anyway. Man, I sure appreciate you coming by and checking us out here. We plan on doing a lot of stuff with you. Look forward to it. You got anything you want to tell anybody before we hop up off here?
Yeah. So new songs we got coming out. Working on a new one called "Time" that we played in the Velvet Sessions. That I wrote with
good shit,
this guy right here, man. Give him a lot of credit for this one. He wrote a good majority of this one, man. I was only a smart part of this song, man.
We're going to have to drink some whiskey together and rock.
It's a kick-ass song, man. I mean, it's a great song.
But, I mean, like, I couldn't do nothing with it, man. I don't have a voice like that.
I can't either. See, I like poetry. I'm good at poetry.
You know, I'm a rapper.
I can't. I can't. I would like to. I've had so many people, because of the stuff that I've done in the past, been like, hey,
why don't you get out here and try to do this?
I can't. I'm too. I don't know what I am. I met this guy one time. I won't say the band, but we were having a conversation.
He's a successful country rapper. And like he's
really good at what he does. And I asked him at one point in time, because we had been drinking heavily, and he asked me what I really thought of one of his songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, dude, you're good at what you do. It's just not for me.
Right.
Like, I respect it. I respect your hustle with it or whatever. I don't get it. But it's not for me to get.
You've got a fan base. By more respect to you.
I'll still support you and shit.
Don't hate on nobody yet.
Yeah, I'm not hating on you. It's not for me. Yeah.
And the dude looked me in the eyes, and he was like, look, if I could sing, I could sing. But this is how I get my message out.
Right. And I was like, I respect you even fucking more now for that.
Yeah, for sure, man. And that's the biggest thing when we're writing songs, man. It's all personal experience and personal opinion, man.
That's what it's supposed to be.
The shit that I've gone through, the shit that he's gone through, man. And he's a great songwriter, man. Yeah,
people experience things in such a different way. You know what I mean? And so anytime you get to like mesh that with other people, you know, man, and he's on an upward trend, bro, you know what I mean? And I'm just so honored to be a part of that, because me heard that.
No. I'm telling you.
Come on, bro.
I'm not even bullshit with you. You got me when the song, the one about, I don't care if he ticks.
Just leave.
Yeah. I'm sitting in my chair, and like when you walk in, I'm like, is this guy like everybody else? Like, I don't mean no disrespect, I've got people that I call.
I'm not calling people out, but that's the way it is right here, man.
There's everybody. I mean, it's like you just don't know until you know.
Don't have talent.
Yeah, because one of the things that in people in your industry, your buddies never tell you suck.
Right.
So your buddies gas your ass up, and you put a lot of money into it, and then you get put in front of a stage or a crowd or whatever of 30, 40 people, and when you start singing, they walk off to the bar, they go sit down, and it's like, oh, I've got to learn this shit firsthand now. Exactly. Like, yeah. I suck, and nobody fucking told me. Or not necessarily I suck, but... This isn't for me.
But you'll always have that one good friend, like this guy right here, that's brutally honest, man.
Yeah. I'll be brutally honest. But when you came in the other day, the first song, I'm like, okay, I don't know this guy. Right. But I listened to it, I was like, this isn't bad. But by the middle part of the second song, I was like, this guy's fucking got something now. I mean, you got my attention. And if you ask, like, if you look at my inbox right now, there's some folks that's probably going to hear this podcast. I'm like, this guy's talking about me. Like, that's why he won't message me back.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, but it's also, I mean, I just can't promote shit I don't believe in.
That's true, man.
I think you are the turn of country. I think people like you are the turn of country.
And going back to Cohen, those guys, there's nobody doing that over here yet. I mean, there's a few guys. I know Elijah Borders. Shout out to him. He's playing good music, man.
That's the other one Riley told me about.
Dylan Wheeler.
I don't know who that is.
That's another Texas guy. But all those guys, man, there's nobody doing that on this side of the coast. All those guys are Texas up on the red dirt.
I mean, and everybody's just tired of twang. You know what I mean?
Well, they're tired of shit twang.
Well, they're talking the red clay, man. Red clay means red dirt.
Yeah, I mean that's where we want to get behind.
If you look at the base of all of that stuff, man, there's so much heavy stuff. Like the heavy guitar and the heavy is like, and that's
what you're well, and also too, if you look at the lyrics, storytelling is country music. Yes. When every song you hear is so repetitive, Luke Bryan used to be the shit to me. First two albums of his, maybe even first three,
Dirt Road Diary.
Oh yeah,
Dirt Road Trucks.
We Rode Truck was solid. An anthem.
I mean, that was great for all of us. Yeah. That was phenomenal.
And then all of a sudden, it's just like, what the fuck's going on now? I still think he's a great artist. And he's got a great voice and everything. But it's like, what are you singing about, dude? Once again, a lot of money. Tim McGraw's the same way.
That's where we tried to ride the line of being marketable but being real.
Yeah.
You know, you made the music you want.
Yeah. I'm all down for that. But like that old song, that old country song that we probably all used to, you know, our parents drank to or whatever, what would Hank do? Or would Hank done it this way?
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's where I'm fucked up is I got enough of that like mentality in me still that when I say that I'm country, I want it to mean something.
Yeah.
Like
a lot of integrity.
Yeah, like I still want it to mean that I stand up for my military, my country, my police officers. I've been in trouble with the law
I still stand up for my fucking police. They ain't never done shit to me.
It's a job, man. It's shit.
Yeah. And, yeah, but like my thing is, if we've got even country artists now and the stuff that they talk about, it's like, you're not country.
Man, I was so sad when Luke Combs released 6 Feet Apart.
You didn't like it?
No.
Because he was singing about COVID?
Yeah, man. Why?
You know, me and my buddy, who's a songwriter up in Nashville, he missed the best part of that song. And I don't know how, because I think him and Rowdy wrote that one together, if I recall right. But when you get buried, how far below ground are you?
6.
So why he didn't throw that 6 feet apart into it? Yeah. Somebody ought to have had ass kicked. That would have been the best way to end
that song.
Especially the way he was trying to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, it
was just too... It was kind of cringy to me, man. I mean, yeah, I get what he was trying to do. I totally understand. Yeah, it's like too mainstream.
Yeah.
I guess Mark, to me, the rest of the stuff on the cringy.
Him and Riley Green. So I'm a big Riley fan.
I love Riley. I love Luke, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Luke Combs can fucking sing the phone book, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And he's what makes me and you look more attractive to women.
Exactly. That fat ginger bastard. Thank God for him. But Riley Green comes out with a song right then, too.
And it's called Better Than Me.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That one's been out. I've heard that one.
Yeah, at the same time that Luke released 6 Feet, Riley released that one.
Yeah.
And I very quickly was like, Riley wrote this himself. This is grown. This is the COVID song.
Right.
Luke Combs, you're like, what did you even?
That's pretty plain that Luke Combs didn't write that one.
Yeah. It one was...
Commercialized.
I love Luke Combs when he was on Vine, man. When he was coming up, nobody knew
Taxation
was,
and
man.
Stuff, by the way.
Share if you want to.
Absolutely.
All those old ones, man. Shout out to that one.
Hey, yeah, Taxation and Stuff for sure.
Yeah, no. I hope that they don't get too commercialized. I know that it's going to happen.
That was a step in the wrong direction, yeah. In my opinion, man.
Oh, I want to hear, he's got coming out this month, he's got like 4 songs that would be on the deluxe album of the last one.
Right.
So I'm waiting to see, because the one he's already came out with, the whatever, it's not a single because the whole album's been released, but off the additional 4, it's called Without You.
Right.
And it doesn't compare to the rest of the album.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody talk about it, anything. So I think at some point in time, though, those songs, what I love about folks like you in the position you're in right now, yeah, you're going to blow up. But until you blow up, your life's uncomfortable.
Yeah, like you're probably not making the money you want to make and all this shit. So in my mind, that's what drives those good songs.
Yeah, man.
Those uncomfortable situations make bad
songs. When you got your mindset
songs.
On doing this and making it in this business.
And you just, that's all you can think about. Yeah, 24/7. So every second you have to be creative.
Looking
every second
for each
you got to be
opportunity
thinking.
You can take.
But then you turn into Luke Combs to where you got a hot ass wife that you would have never been able to sing.
Man.
Yeah. It's like all of a sudden your life's perfect.
Right.
You don't have that hunger no more.
Yeah.
Like that's where I think that I like seeing a starving artist for a little while. Yeah, I don't want to see you starve forever.
Yeah.
But I want to get them good ass songs out of you while you're starving.
Yeah, man.
And then you can, you know,
that's just part of doing it on your own. It keeps that drive, man.
Yeah.
You have to make it on your own. You ain't got a record label backing you, you know, you're grinding it out.
It's all about
hard, man. And that's I think we're gonna do a single release first and then we'll release the EP. So once these Velvet Sessions come out, maybe we'll get some feedback,
man.
And see which one people like, man.
You're going to get to sit tomorrow.
That ain't tonight's already
for sure.
Out. For the last
you're going to get to sit tomorrow because with the Velvet Sessions. First off, y'all listening, you can look it up tomorrow. It's going to be David McMahon with the Velvet Sessions, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios.
Shot.
But it's 70s, just grainy-ass red velvet.
Pretty cool. It's got a vintage feel.
Porn lights. I love my red lights.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's just supposed to be different. Like, because that's what we want. I want to bring to people is, in my opinion, everybody's tired of the same old shit.
Yep.
They're tired of the same old.
I want something new, man. I want something fresh.
Yeah,
that's everything in this industry. That's
here.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they're
turn
tired of it.
Yeah, man.
Turn on set.
As soon as they realize that Sturgill Simpson during COVID sold $500,000 worth of Dick Daddy T-shirts and merchandise.
Jesus.
And I don't know if y'all saw Big Daddy Survival, whatever it was. It's fucking great. Okay. But as soon as they realize how much money, because that's all, you don't make money off songs anymore anyway. I mean, unless you sell it.
Right.
But like when you go to a concert, that's where you get your money at now. When your merchandise sells, that's where you get money at.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, hell, I'm just as guilty as the next person about having Apple Music. Right. I mean, I pay one thing Amazon, a month, yeah. And there's no way you get paid for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't. So your money's all off of revenue streams from concert and merchandise. That's why it's not the music business anymore. It's the entertainment business.
Exactly.
So when they realize artists like him are outperforming Luke Bryan, Zach Brown fucking ruined himself as far as I'm concerned.
That's crazy, right?
I don't know what happened to that guy.
Self-imploded or something.
Dude, hot garbage. I'm talking about hot garbage. And I used to think that this dude was just like
the
baddest. Son of, that Colder
dude,
Weather
that's
album.
Hypes on him, man.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
I even like Chicken Fried. I'm not a huge, huge country fan.
Yeah.
Like, even like
Chicken Fried was
Chicken
good.
Fried
yeah.
was a good song.
Everybody's partied to that song
like
at a bar.
Good, toes I like in the good water. Writing, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like good music. Yeah.
Highway 20 Ride was such a deep song.
Yeah. Ooh, have you ever heard Colder Weather?
Yeah,
oh my God. I'm drinking a beer to that one.
Oh, yeah.
But cheers, fellas.
For sure.
If y'all like those, you got to try these.
Those.
Right.
I had to get off
sell
those.
That at my restaurant.
Oh, I love these.
I had never tried
them. We're not losing. I'd like
to get you one for you guys.
Snowball, shout out Mama Rita's in Camilla, Georgia.
No, you can give them a better shout out now. They can't hear you.
Shout out to Mama Rita's and shout out to Douglas Nobles.
That's right. Raul at Mama Rita's, man. Always lets me play.
Mexican kitchen in the hometown. In Camilla.
Best food. I love Mexican
food.
Dude,
so good.
That's why my ass is fat, man.
That's how I got fat. I used to be
like
160 pounds.
I don't want to hear shit. I'm fucking over here at 2:30 sweating just to talk.
You're like, I'm fat. Little skinny bastard.
You guys get to be like,
Whatever.
Yeah. It's got its upsides and downsides.
That's right.
I've been trying to lose some weight myself, man.
Oh, I heard drugs are good for you.
I heard that. Pretty sure it was a health magazine.
It was
I'm pretty sure Men's Health. Yeah.
Yeah, the more cocaine you do, the skinnier you'll get.
Right.
Yeah, and meth.
I heard that was the best.
They're not messing around with that diet.
No, that 55-hour energy.
Oh, man. Shit, you ain't lying. You'll see so much shit. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just fall right off of you.
Come on,
we do not condone the use of drugs, but only on Fridays and Saturdays. That's right. But, fellas, this has been a good one. I'm glad I got to hang out with both of y'all. We're about to have to go. But one more time, plug yourself. Plug the songs you got out there. Tell them where to find you.
My name's McMahon. You can find me on any streaming platform. Got It Ain't Tonight, my new single out. Y'all see me on Velvet Sessions. Give me some feedback. Let me know which song y'all want me to release for a single. And hopefully we'll have an EP out. But hopefully we'll have the single out by November. So look me up on social media.
It's going to be great.
Everywhere, McMahon. Shout out to Hunter McClendon. Shout out to y'all, man. I love what y'all are doing.
Oh, we got more to come with you. Oh, yeah. It will. Long as it keeps running, you got a place to ride.
That's right, man. Let's run it off the rails.
Hell yes. Well, thank y'all for tuning in. This has been Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Gray Studios. Thank y'all. We'll see you again next time.
Oh, wow. One of these. They say it's the thought that counts, but they aren't shopping at QVC because here it's much more than just a thought. It's a pleasant deep dive into the inspiration, stories, and possibilities behind every product, shared by real-life hosts, with expert demos on everything, from food to fashion to decor and more. Gifts won't be a guessing game. They'll be an, oh my gosh, this is so perfect for me. Shop QVC.com and use code QVC20podcast for $20 off $40 for new customers. This is shopping brought to life.
Going to a big football game? Walking around all day? Then you'll want comfortable shoes. Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Atlanta stores. Score a touchdown with a new pair of ultra-comfortable running or walking shoes. Come to the New Balance Atlanta stores. I'm telling you, we'll make sure you have the perfect fit and we'll treat you like the starting QB. Visit the New Balance Atlanta stores in North Point, Sandy Springs, Toco Hills, and across from the Mall of Georgia. New Balance Atlanta. Experience the difference a custom fit makes today.